committee. It's exactly 2 o'clock now. We should be ready to start in a few minutes. Tembi Nkosi, if you can check if we have everything in order. I will give a few minutes before we start our meeting. Welcome to the meeting. Thank you.
Dumela modula stulo. Ngiyabulisa kuThembi Nkosi nosihlalo wekomiti nawo wonke amalunga. Sanibona.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey. Chair, yes, although we have the number that is allowed for us to proceed with the meeting, which is the third of the members, we have not reached that 19 quorum yet, but we are close today. We have about 17 members on the platform. There is nothing that is stopping you from proceeding with the meeting. I should just indicate that one member who indicated that he's sitting in the chamber, Mr. Heron, indicated that he would join us as we proceed. And then the rest of the apologies, I'll read them, Chair, when you give me that permission. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. We should be ready to start around 2:05. Thank you. Thank you, honorable members. Good
recording
afternoon
in
again.
Progress.
It's exactly 2:05. As promised, I would like us to start our meeting, our next meeting of the Section 194 on this day, 10th June 2022. Again, I want to welcome all of you honorable members of the committee, our guests who have joined us, either from the media and all other role players who participate in these processes. Welcome to the Section 194 committee. This next meeting of the Section 194, sole purpose today is to get an update of progress on one or two issues that we expect to get an update on. But before I go there, I'm going to ask you, Tembi Nkosi, share if there are any formal apologies that we've received.
Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon to honorable guests. Yes, Chair, we have received two apologies. The first one coming from Mr. Olomisa. He's attending a funeral in the Eastern Cape. And the other one is from Ms. Matrose of the IFP. She is on maternity leave. And as I had earlier indicated, Mr. Heron indicated that he will join us as soon as we can walk out of the proceeding. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Those are the only apologies we have. They all seem to be in order. We do hope that Honorable Heron will join us of those apologies. Thank you very much for that. With that, colleagues, I'd like us to proceed as I was indicating that the main purpose of this next meeting of the Section 194 is mainly to get heads up on a few issues as we prepare and as we march on as part of our roadmap. We've clearly outlined a roadmap, which we said will be a living document. We'll, from time to time, we'll update that. It's a roadmap, as you know, that takes us to September. Post this meeting of today, we are likely members to be more active and hectic as we start the July month in terms of our roadmap. But today we expect to get a feedback on the issues of public submission that would have been announced in the last meeting, a quick brief on the litigation matters, and we'll start there. Update on the RD processes to the public protector, and perhaps any progress so far on the putting together of working arrangements for this committee in preparation for its hearings. With that, I'm going to ask our legal services, led by Mr. Sivuwe Njikela and his team, to start the proceedings, and we'll start with that item to get an update. You would have noticed quite a number of development in the last 24 hours, and we're hoping that he will take us through some of those. None of those developments would have influenced the work that we do, as you indicated in the last meeting yourselves. And on that point, let me invite to the platform Mr. Sivuwe Njikela. And just to remind you this time, I was asked that they always prefer you when you make that presentation so that they can see you. Back born. I think I know it's fucking yeah. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Chairperson, and honorable members and colleagues on the panel. Chair, ours today is going to be brief in the sense that not much has changed in as far as the position that we've been communicating to the committee over the past couple of weeks now. In our last presentation, I think we informed the committee that the Constitutional Court had made a decision on the rescission application. And that immediately after that decision by the Constitutional Court, there was another rescission on that rescission. And then, Chair, there was an application to the Western Cape High Court, which was filed, which I think is critical to today's discussion. The public protector filed an application in two parts to the Western Cape High Court. Part A sought to interdict Parliament, that is both the Speaker or the National Assembly and the Section 194 Committee, from proceeding with any process that sought to consider the motion on air removal. There were other remedies that were sought which relate to the president, in essence to prevent the president from suspending her in her capacity as the public protector. The matter was heard by the court. Arguments were advanced. We got notification yesterday that the Western Cape High Court was ready to rule on the matter this morning. There was a hearing, well, not a hearing, there was a delivery of a judgment this morning at 8:30 by the presiding judge. Of the remedies that the public protector sought against Parliament, the judge, or the full bench actually, I shouldn't say the judge, the full bench of the Western Cape, has found that there is no merit on all the reliefs or remedies that the public protector has sought against Parliament and has sought against the president, in as far as the suspension is concerned. Now, Chair, I need not go any further on this. There was a development yesterday, which I think the committee is aware of, where there was an announcement that related to the suspension of the public protector. And that is already in the public knowledge now. But I'm trying to focus on what relates to Parliament specifically and the committee that has to deal with this issue. We have always said to the committee, as far as we are concerned, there is no legal impediment on the way of the committee dealing with the issue. And again, the full bench of the Western Cape this morning confirmed that Parliament is executing a constitutional mandate, which in terms of Section 237 of the Constitution must be executed without delay and with due diligence. That was the argument that we put before the Western Cape High Court. And it has agreed with us that, based on the principle of separation of powers, as the court, they must defer to what Parliament is required to do in terms of the Constitution. This public protector is answerable to the National Assembly, must be held accountable by the National Assembly to the extent that is allowed by the Constitution. So the process that is being undertaken by the National Assembly at the moment is perfectly within the provisions of Section 194, which is accountability to the National Assembly by the public protector. And for that reason, Chair, in summary, the Western Cape High Court full bench has refused to interdict or to stymie the process that is before this committee at this moment. It is now, Chairperson, entirely within the discretion of the committee to determine its process and take this matter forward. Chairperson, I'm sure many members of the committee have already had access now to the judgment. All the media houses are reporting on it. And I need not take you through every little crony of it. Otherwise, I will be generating another debate, which may not be relevant for your purposes. But that is the essence, Chairperson, of what happened this morning. So I will leave it to the Chairperson to really take the meeting forward, unless there are specific questions as to what may have happened. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. I understand your point of not going to the details is perfectly accepted, but I want to push you to indicate as a last point the issue of court orders arising out of that judgment before I refer to numbers.
Chairperson, during the hearing of the matter, the issue of the costs, if the public protector fails in their attempt to interdict the presidential process and the parliamentary process, came up. But it was not a matter that was raised by Parliament. It was a matter that was raised by the fifth respondent, wherein they sought personal cost orders against the public protector. They sought the cost orders at a punitive scale. What the judge did this morning was to grant that order, but on a different scale. Because in the panel's view, there were no justifications for a punitive scale. So the fifth respondent, which is the Democratic Alliance, had sought punitive court orders at a personal level. And that was granted, but at a different level, which is party and party basis. If Chairperson, you may have followed the proceedings this morning, there is already an indication that there may be a consideration of a challenge. And actually, before I joined the meeting, I already saw that there was something on the breaking news that there is possibly a challenge to the suspension which happened yesterday. So, Chairperson, I think from where we are sitting, most of these things have now become predictable. That there will be a challenge after another challenge. So I think it's for the committee to be aware of that and make decisions. We've been to the Constitutional Court. We've been there for the second time. We've been to the Western Cape High Court. I can't even remember how many times. So it's been going on, and it seems like it's going to continue to go on. Now we understand we are in the African Commission for Human and People's Rights. So it is a battle that is likely to go on. And we must just be ready to stick to the positions that we have taken, which is what we have done over the past 2 years. And quite happily, we've been successful on a number of instances. So that's why it is, Chairperson, in as far as the court order. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sitwen Jikela, for that briefing, precise but very pointed and very helpful. So, honourable members, just on that, before we get into the next presentation of the fuller update on other issues, any brief comments from you as members on this briefing about the update on litigation. I'm going to allow that briefly before, so that I separate the two matters. I recognize Honorable Anneli Lothrit.
Good afternoon, Chairperson, and good afternoon, colleagues. Yes, Chairperson, I just want to express our gratitude for this exposition of the findings and the cost orders. I also just want to concur and perhaps also stress that I think the important thing is that we proceed with what we are supposed to do, regardless of any other efforts to distract us or to stop us, preventing us from continuing with our work. Because we should understand that this will be the strategy going forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Lothrit. I now recognize Honourable Omphile Maotwe, followed by Honourable Doris Lakude.
No, thank you very much, Chair, and apologies for logging in late. I was still logged on to Parliament. So I missed the better part of the presentation that I've done by the gentleman above. But my only concern is one, Chair. We come into this meeting, we don't have an agenda. And early this morning, I asked the Secretary of the Committee, please send me the agenda. Even now, I still don't have it. I don't know how we're running meetings without the agenda. How then do we prepare? Of course, there's correspondence that has been sent via emails. But today's agenda, what is it? So can we, in future, improve in terms of availing the agenda on time? So that we, as members, we are prepared for this meeting. Sitting here without an agenda, we are just looking at you. Tell us what is the next one. So please, can you rectify that, Chair? Thank you.
No, thank you, Honourable Omphile Maotwe. Maybe before I go to the next speaker, Thembi Mosi, can you quickly to clarify that? Because I thought that it was circulated.
Thank you, Chairperson. Indeed, the agenda was circulated, Chair, on Wednesday. I'm just checking as I'm talking to you. On Wednesday, the agenda was circulated. The only thing that was circulated yesterday was the link which was sent yesterday. Thank you.
Did Honorable Maut raise the matter with you before this meeting?
Chair, I saw the email requesting the link and agenda, but unfortunately at the time I was on the road and I have since sent her the link. But like I indicated, Chair, I circulated Chairperson. I'm sure all the members have it, Chair. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you. We'll have to sort that out as we, because we don't want any incidentals. We're dealing with such a serious work that the focus of the members here, of these 36 members, must be on the real issues in attending to this task. Any other thing that is of a nature that it should be taken automatically that it's done, we just have to make sure that we sort that out. We'll make sure and perhaps after the meeting to check are there email problems and so on, but there seems to be messages from other members who say they've received the agenda. I take that. Thank you.
Without interrupting, Chair, the agenda was sent on Tuesday. I was mistaken to even indicate that it was sent on Wednesday. It was sent on Tuesday. And on that email, I attached the number of letters which members would have in their position. And the unfortunate part is that Ms. Mawadwe is on the meeting, Mr. Chairperson. Thank you very much.
All right. No, thank you. Honorable Lagude.
I didn't receive thank that.
You. I know very much. Honorable Maltu. Honorable Lagude.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me start by confirming that from my side, I did receive all the correspondence. The agenda is written on, it's a Word document, written section 194. So I did receive the documents. So, Honorable Chair, I want to welcome the presentation or the report by Mr. Jikela. We really appreciate that. And also to reaffirm that in the absence of anything that is interdicting the committee from doing its work, we will proceed with the work as Parliament, as advised by also our legal units. We will proceed with the work of a fact-finding mission, because that is what the National Assembly tasked us to do, to be on a fact-finding mission until we finish everything. Until such time when we receive something to interdict our committee, then we will stop. But as of now, there is nothing, Honorable Chair. So we welcome that report. I will not enter into the other matters, but just to thank Mr. Jikela for that. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Lagode. Honorable Suela, as the last speaker on this, so we get to the next presentation.
Thanks, Chair. Although I joined late, I was still at plenary, but I heard some of the last part of Mr. Jikela. We appreciate that. Yes, we are ready. We'll be ready to receive whatever litigation, but what we need to do is to move forward with our work, as Honorable Zakota has indicated, because if there is nothing before us as Parliament, nothing will stop us to continue with our work. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Suela. I do note you, Honorable Ichimani. Perhaps, do you want to come in now?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. and greetings to all members and all stakeholders present. My apology for not showing my video because my network is very much unstable. Chairperson, I think in the meeting, in our meeting before the last, I think it should have been in April, if I'm not mistaken, I think we made a determination as the committee that there are no impediments on our part in relation to proceeding with the inquiry. So I think as per the report being given today by Mr. Njikela, in relation to the Western Cape High Court judgment of today, I think it does assist us in terms of removing whatever shadow of doubt that might have been there, perhaps from among some of us, in relation to that declaration that we made in the meeting before. So I think that judgment says to us, like that determination that we made, that we are on course, not unless something else comes up, perhaps in the near future, like Honorable Tlakute has indicated. So I think we are on course, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Honorable members, I want to invite the next presentation from Ms. Fatima Ibrahim. I think the first brief update from Mr. Segoe Njikela is welcome, and the members are appreciating that, which seems to vindicate the attitude of this committee throughout this period. Thank you for that. Ms. Fatima, can I ask you to come in and take us through the next presentation?
Good afternoon, Chair, and good afternoon to the honourable members. Thank you, Chair. I'll start immediately. As indicated, we'll be doing a briefing on the work that's been done to date. The four areas that I'm going to cover is the opportunity that we gave to the PP to make written representations, an update on the public participation process, an issue relating to issuing of summons, and then working arrangements. And Chair, in respect of the first issue, which was the opportunity to the PP to make written representations, in our last meeting, I informed members that a letter was sent to the PP dated 22 April, and that letter served as notice to her, inviting her to make written representations, which would have been effective from the 23rd of April, and the due date would have been 22 May, which would have been 30 days later. That letter also further requested that the PP inform the committee of who her legal representative or other expert would be if she was so availing such a person to assist her during the years. On the 20th of May, Chair, that was just on the eve of the due date, really, which, as I said, was 22nd of May. So late Friday, on the 20th of May, we received a letter from the PP's attorneys, that's Sonako attorneys. They indicated that they will act for the PP together with Advocate Darlene Mpofu, who's senior counsel. And that team has represented the PP in this process in respect of the litigation that has happened to date. They dispute the legality of the notice sent on the 22nd of April on the basis of Rule 89, and most members will be familiar with that rule as the so-called sub judice rule. They also refer to a previous request that they made for an extension to the RD period to counsel for Speaker and the Chairperson in the litigation matter. And they refute the assertion made by the chairperson in an affidavit in the High Court matter, where the chair explained that that request was not considered at the last meeting of the 11th of May because it did not form part of the PP's letter dated 9th of May. And that correspondence, Chair, we had gone through in the last meeting. Tim, if you can please go back to that slide. There is a suite of letters to get through. They also contended that due to the postponement of the litigation matter, the Western Cape High Court, and the fact that their client had travelled overseas, they did not have a fair opportunity to consider the notice during that 30-day period. And essentially, what they requested was an extension until 17th of June 2022, or the outcome of the application. The date, obviously, of that would have been unknown at the time of the request. We only came to know yesterday that judgment would be delivered this morning. But the essence of that was that the request was that the delay, or the extension rather, should also be given on the basis of the Abramchi SMS, and that should have interrupted this RDP. On the 22nd of May, we then sent a response from the chair to SANAHO, offering an extension of a further two-week period until 6 June. And that extension was considered with due regard to the facts, in particular the length of the PP's trip, the fact that she had retained the legal team that had been representing her to date, the fact that she also had an opportunity to already make written representations to the panel, and that the matter in the High Court, which had been by agreement postponed to the 18th and the 19th of May, had already been heard. So members may not be aware, but the PP was first provided with a copy of the motion and all the evidence on 17th of December 2020, which would have been about 1.5 years ago. And the Audi, as part of this process, relates to exactly that same documentation and that same record. On the 26th of May, the PP sent us further correspondence indicating that she rejects the two-week extension. She denies that is a sufficient extension, and she indicated that the committee cannot unilaterally determine the period without consultation, and again averring that the Abramchi SMS had the effect of interrupting the period. She further says that the fact that we embarked on a public participation process may mean that this will result in amendments to the old charges. And that's the term used by the PP in the letter. And old charges here would mean the charges as they were listed in the motion by Honorable Mazone. And also that the period, therefore, would only run after such amendments to the motion are made. She then placed a demand that the Audi period be reconsidered and that this letter be tabled to the committee, and that the response be sent by 30th of May. There was no committee meeting between the 26th of May and 30 May, by which point the PP was demanding a response, but nonetheless a response was sent on the 30th of May from the chair to SANAHO. And that response explains that the letter of 26th of May contained no further grounds for reconsideration of the Audi period. In other words, there were no new facts presented to the chair, which he could have then taken into account to allow for a further extension over and above the two-week period that has now been granted. We also indicated in that letter that the public participation process could not result in an amendment to the motion. It was explained that any amendment to a motion is not possible at this point. Any member is at liberty to bring a new motion if they so wish, but this process is confined to the motion as considered by the panel and on which that panel report was based. We then lastly noted that should the PP not wish to avail the opportunity to make written representations, she will still have the opportunity to make other events in the year. So the extended date, Chair, was 6th of June of this year. That would have given a total of 6 weeks. But the PP did not respond and has not availed that opportunity given to her to make those written representations. And that is where we currently stand. But as indicated to the PP in the correspondence of 30th of May, she will nonetheless still be afforded an opportunity to make representations during the other hearings. If you can please move to the next slide. Public participation process. As members were made aware in the last meeting, we were embarking on a broad process, and we issued a national invitation through various media platforms to the public to place evidence before the committee to assist it in assessing the motion, and the closing date for that was the 3rd of June. We received a number of telephonic and email inquiries, but in total 24 written responses were received to date. The team is in the process of collating those submissions, and the evidence leaders together with the legal team will assess the contents to determine if any submission deals materially with the matters raised in the motion and whether it's necessary to call such persons to furnish further evidence or give oral testimony. As we indicated to the PP in our letter of 30th of May, it's a misapprehension to think that this process could result in an amendment to the motion. It wasn't the purpose. And now what we are trying to do is to consider this evidence vis-a-vis the motion. We are also in receipt, Chair, of a referral from the Speaker. So that was outside of the invited public participation process. This is a referral of a protected disclosure that was made to the former Speaker in December 2019. By former employee of the PPSA, and we will add this to the bundle of documents. We anticipate that these written submissions can be distributed electronically to members as well as to the PP as an additional index and paginated bundle B by this coming Tuesday. If any members have a preference to receive that bundle in hard copy, they are welcome to contact the committee secretary to make those arrangements. But we will endeavour to get it to members and the people by Tuesday, 14th of June. Chair, that brings me to the next issue, which has to do with summons. As members are aware, the Constitution and the Powers and Privileges Act empowers Parliament specifically to summons persons to either appear before a committee or to furnish a committee with any reports. It's an important tool to assist the committee in its oversight responsibilities. And what we are requesting is that the committee resolve in terms of Section 14 of the Powers, Privileges and Immunities of Parliament and Provincial Legislatures Act to authorise the chair to summons any person recommended by the evidence leaders or otherwise identified by the committee in the course of gathering evidence to appear before the committee. Or to otherwise produce documents where the presence of such witness or the furnishing of such documents is material to the assessment of the motion. Chair, as is always the case when summons is issued, it is only done where a person who has been invited to provide oral evidence or produce documents or otherwise provide a sworn written statement refuses to cooperate with the committee. So it is an act of last resort, as it were, and we won't issue summons lightly unless we've made an effort to get people to come voluntarily. So we are asking that the committee please resolve on that issue because practically it will just make things easier for us in the weeks going forward. Then lastly, Chair, that brings me to the working arrangements for the yearling. Nkosi, you can move to the final slide, please. In terms of Assembly Rule 167F, the committee can determine its own working arrangements. And then Assembly Rule 183 specifically provides that any person, including counsel and attorneys, appearing before a committee must observe the directions and conform to the procedures determined by the chair. At the request of the chair, directions, procedures, and working arrangements for the actual yearlings are being developed. So these would deal very specifically with aspects related to the yearling itself. So a little bit different to our broad terms of reference that we adopted earlier. It would cover things related to the order of the proceedings, the presentation of evidence, closing statements, how we deal with evidence that's undisputed, and so on. Chair, once those are developed, they will be shared with the committee and with the public protector for comment, and thereafter brought to the committee for adoption. And that, Chair, concludes my update of where we are in the process. Thank you.
Thank you, Fatima, Ibrahims, for the presentation. Well presented, colleagues. Any comments, questions of clarities, and your own contributions to what has been presented? There would be one or two things where there's a request for us to pronounce ourselves in a particular way. I will recognize Honorable Brad Heron, followed by Honorable Northridge, and Honorable Jane Mananiso-Khoza, so far in that order. Welcome, Honorable Heron. We couldn't wait for you. We did get your apology that you were disconnecting there and joining this side, because we, in the way we want to operate this create a particular brand of how we work. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair, and my apologies for being late. I didn't want to walk out in the middle of the President's reply, especially given the events of this morning. But just two things. I didn't quite understand around the bundle, the 14th of June. There was a comment that we could request a bundle, but bundles would be made available to members by the 14th of June. So we just get clarity. Are we meant to request it, or are we going to get this bundle automatically? And then there was a request that we authorize the chair to issue summonses, which I would propose that we do authorize. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Heron. Hopefully, Fatima, you will later on come back on that issue. Honorable Annalie Lathrate.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, in terms of the presentation now, reference has been made to certain sections of Part 4 of our rules. I would just like to inquire whether it would be possible to include Rule 189, the publication or disclosure of proceedings, evidence, and reports, specifically related to certain documents of a private nature that could be prejudicial to a particular person, and that that certain documents should be treated with in confidentiality. So would that be possible to include Rule 189? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Lothrit. Points will be noted by Fatima Ibrahim. Ms. Mananiso.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I would like to actually welcome the presentation from the legal team and as well thank them for diligently doing their work in terms of what we have requested on our last meeting with regards to them touching every length and breadth of South Africa in terms of public participation. And one can confirm that they have actually used 11 languages, and as well they've actually, distributed their information with local radio stations that are used by our people. And one can confirm I have actually learned of one of the announcement in Motswedi FM. So I just want to thank them for doing their work and as well taking the recommendation and comments by the committee. So it shows that they are fit for purpose. Thank you. And I welcome all the presentation in order. Thank you.
Thank you, Mananiso. Before I go to Ms. Ibrahim, I see Honorable Nola.
Chair, thanks. I'm not sure if I got the presentation right. When it says there are 24 written submissions from the public, which are going to be referred to the evidence leader. And there is a part that says the chair would request the committee to grant him a right to summon people as soon as having received the feedback from the evidence leaders. I'm not sure if I got it right, Chair. I just wanted to check that.
That's fine. Just hold on to that, because that's an important point. The last part of it was the point being raised on summons is that in terms of our rules, parliamentary committees have the power to do that. But we've got to make a resolution in that regard. And what has been presented here, which Honorable Heron has so far been the only one supporting, that the committee must resolve to give such powers to the chairperson to utilize them when the need arises. It's not just utilizing them every day when there are difficulties of a critical witness that we need and is not coming forward. So that's the issue. So I would have loved that from Honorable Lotrit, Manani, so, and yourself also to respond to that. And then the other matters she will clarify. I hope it clarifies, Honorable Lola.
Yes, it is clear, Chair. I want to propose to the committee. I'm not sure if there is someone who has already proposed that we resolve this committee to give to the chair or grant the chair those powers to summon those critical witnesses that the committee may have been in need of on critical issues. So I move, Chair, that we do grant you that power. Thank you.
It has been moved, so I take it that you support. Honorable Heron did move it. So
second.
Thank you, Honorable Siwela.
Thanks, Chair. You have ruled already. I wanted to second that you be given granted that permission or authority to summon as the committee wishes to do so. And also to welcome the report by Fatima. Let's support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Siwela. Ibrahim, can you quickly just tackle some of those clarities that have been raised so far and some suggestion by Honorable Lopshit? Go ahead.
Chair, just to clarify for Honorable Heron, the bundle that is being prepared is an electronic bundle. The option is if members would like that bundle to be sent to them in hard copy, that they may request same from the secretariat. There seems to have been a preference for electronic because of the amount of documents involved. This bundle, by way of example, I can already let you know that one affidavit has annexures that exceed about 500 pages. So this is why a decision has been made to send it electronically, but of course any member that would like to have a hard copy is welcome to contact the secretariat, and those arrangements will be made to get it delivered to them in that form. But yes, everybody will get an electronic bundle by latest Tuesday. In terms of the comment by Honorable Lottery, the new rule 129AD4 specifically provides that all the rules of Parliament that are applicable to committees generally are also applicable to this committee. So certainly we will invoke rule 189 if and when it is required. It isn't necessary for us to specifically refer to it in any of our procedure. But if we need to invoke that rule, then certainly we will do so, Chair. Honourable Mananiso, thank you very much for your kind words. But in fact, all credit there is due to Temu Nkosi Ngoma, who is definitely fit for purpose and who ran with all of the public participation processes. And then the last issue on the resolution, Chair, I think that you covered that, except to say that the process that we will follow will be strictly in terms of the legislation in EVIC. So we will do all the internal memos, the serving of that summons, and whatever other steps that need to be taken as provided for in the Act. So we're not asking for dispensation of any of those procedures at all. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ibrahim. Any other comments, colleagues, on the issues? We seem to have covered that presentation as well. Any other? If none, Tendungosi, anything you want to raised from your side.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Chairperson, my colleague Ms. Ibrahim has captured it all. And I'm happy that he explained to Mr. Heron the issue of the bundle. It's only for those members that require electronic copy. I already have received indications of from some of the members, like it in hard copy. Chairperson, also just to extend words of appreciation to Ms. Manami. So we really try to ensure that all South Africans, irrespective of their geographical location, language, race, gender, will receive a notification from Parliament. So thank you very much. From my side, that's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it, the work that is being done. Colleagues, those were the two progress updates that would have expected to be done. Maybe at this point, I want to proceed to the next quick item, Tembungosi, which will be the minutes.
Thank you.
Before that, Honorable Heron.
Chair, if I may just raise an issue that's not on the agenda, but just briefly. This committee is going to spend a lot of time in the next few weeks sitting listening to evidence. The program is going to take us months to conclude. And I just want to make sure that we are not going to waste our time and that at the end of it, the public protector will be in a position to say that there was no impartiality. And I raise this because I raised this once before, that according to the media, yesterday the DA announced that they're celebrating the public protector's suspension. The leader of the DA said he's drunk half a bottle of champagne and he'll drink the other half when the public protector is removed from office. Now, if a leader of a party who brought the motion and who have members on this committee are making those sort of public announcements, I have to raise questions around their impartiality, because this process has to be fair in terms of our own terms of reference and in terms of natural justice. So how do we have a political party participating in these proceedings who actually brought the motion in the first place, making announcements that they would like the public protector to be removed before hearing any evidence? We could sit for months, and then the members who participated given the public protector grounds for review, because they are not showing impartiality. They are, in fact, showing bias. And so I'm really disturbed that that kind of statement was made by a party that is participating in these proceedings, and the party that actually brought the motion to commence these proceedings. We cannot conduct this process, sit for months and months, to have it undermined by public comments that are really that immature, and which I think disclose a bias that is going to taint the work that we do. So I would like us to discuss whether those kind of comments are appropriate, and to hear from the DA how they intend to act with impartiality. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Heron. I will not really open a discussion for us on that. I will, in allowing a few members who have raised their hand, give them that opportunity, but I will try and direct the meeting at the end once I listen to all of them. Honorable Lottrit?
Thank you, Chairperson. As the party that I belong to is mentioned here and attacked, I firstly just want to say that I will abide by any of your rulings, and secondly, that I do find it improper that attacks are made on the integrity of the individual members in this particular committee serving in the interest of the country and what is best for the citizens of this country. So I really take offense, and I think that, Chair, I would appreciate any ruling from your side. In this regard, I do not think that this is the forum for these kinds of attacks, which could have, I suppose, a specific reason why they are there. or made, but it's unfulfilled. Thank you.
Honourable Lockett, are you done?
Thank you, Chair. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Honourable Siwela, followed by Hendrix, and then I'll the last hand is Kosana, and I will make a determination. Honourable Siwela.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks. Thank you so much. Let me thank the honorable member who has raised this concern. I'm 200% supporting him, Chair, because the issue of impartiality is critical. So, Chair, we are mandating you to deal with this matter. I'm supporting the latter speakers, not in our names as this committee, because our role is to go there and play the ball, not the man. So I'm really supporting what they have said. It mustn't be us who's doing that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Suella. Honorable Hendrix.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, the previous honorable member talked about 200%. I would like to double it. We support the concern of Honorable Brett Heron. Honourable Chair, you can't be the chair of a kangaroo committee. And I feel so strongly about it that Al Jamaa would like to propose that the DA member serving on this committee be excused, because we cannot continue if there is such bias. But we leave it in your hand, and we hope that you will have the wisdom of Solomon to deal with it. But we don't want you to be the chairman of a kangaroo committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Hendrix. Honorable Sheikh Imam.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. I had to stop one side. Yeah, Chairperson, the issue of impartiality has always been there. We've discussed this on this committee previously before. But however, I think the composition of the committee itself, the numbers that are represented there, will deal with that issue. You cannot stop. You will always have a situation where somebody may be biased, and that's why committees of this nature are made up of many members. I mean, you have that all the time. So I think we really would be covered. We shouldn't be worrying too much about it. But I think making these statements, you know, just before we start this entire inquiry does, you know, affect the credibility of the process that we're following. So I think we need to just plead with our colleagues to stop preempting what may happen, and allow us to follow due process and do what we have to do. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, it doesn't come as a surprise that the DA was celebrating. I mean, they started celebrating in Parliament when they clapped hands that this motion has gone through with the assistance of the ANC, by the way. And the ANC was shocked. You didn't even clap hands yourselves. The ANC, because you didn't know what was happening. They are celebrating, should have joined them in the celebration, because that's what they want to do. They want to remove the public protector. They are here, even now, pushing everything against all odds that this committee continues, even though we know that there's still going to be an application that's coming. But it is what it is, Chair. This is what you, all of you, you asked for it, and now you have it. They are showing you what they are. And then you must not be surprised. I'm not surprised that they, that's how they behaved. And I don't know why we are all surprised. But that's who they are, and that's what they are pushing. I don't know why we are confused. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mpile Maute. I would want members, I can see there's interest generated. I thought you'd allow me to come in, but I don't want to block you out. I'm still going to have to assist this process. I'm very comfortable in doing this, but let me note you, Honourable Nola, Honourable Nodada, Honourable Milham, and Skosana at the end. Just compliment each colleagues.
Chairperson, I don't think that we're going to resolve this thing through conspiracy theories. See, these conspiracy theories of Mantua here are not going to assist this process.
I'm not Mandwe. Please pronounce my name.
Apology. I can't pronounce it, my friend. I have a chance.
It's okay. Honorable Mautu.
No, let me say Honorable Ompil. I think that's the better one.
Thank you, Chair, for protecting me. Thank you.
So I'm saying, Chair, and the problem here is that why conglomerate of different political parties who actually base their existence on different ideological bases. The application of what we say in the public and what we don't say shouldn't actually be central, the center nerve of how this committee operates. And I don't think, Chair, that we're going to be able to resolve this matter if in this kind of forum we want to discuss it. Let's thank Honorable Heron for having raised the matter with the committee. I want to suggest and propose to the committee, Chair, that we give the matter to you. You discuss it with the speaker. Then you'll report in another meeting on what are the possible amicable solutions to what Honorable Heron is raising. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Nodada.
Thank you so much, Chair. Chair, I don't know what the excitement is all about regarding this, because we can't be sitting in this committee and discussing people's perceptions and theories, because at the end of the day, we're all individual members of Parliament. We are in this committee to perform a certain duty and function. And we can't be reacting to people's ejaculation of emotional, things that they think about that will happen in this particular committee. We've got a responsibility that we need to execute. We're members of Parliament. We are conscious. We exercise fairness. We abide by the Constitution and the rules of this House. So I don't think that now we must be sitting and discussing people's speculation, yeah, Chair. And I think you must make a very firm ruling on that. And people must focus on the business of what this committee is all about and not get excited here and start making statements about political parties that they know nothing about. Because we can do the same and sit here and do the same thing and come to that level of immaturity. But these are members of Parliament, who are adults, and we know what we're responsible for and what we need to do. So let's act as such, and not come here with conspiracy theories and getting some form of excitement from somewhere in the public that people comment. People make comments on a day-to-day basis about various things, but that does not detract us from the work that we do and our constitutional responsibility in doing and performing that duty. So please, Chairperson, we can't be subjected to this, these type of insults and comments that have been made, because we can equally do the same thing, but we choose not.
Thank you, Honorable Nodata, Honorable Mayan.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm appalled that Honorable Heron could come here and attack the integrity of individual members of this committee. He has said nothing when other political parties have said and come out strongly in support of the public protector in these very hearings and suggested that we should abandon the hearings and or delay the processes until certain court actions are finished. So, Chairperson, I think that the fact that we are not bound by statements that are made outside of the committee, that we focus on the work and the evidence that is presented before us, must take priority, and that we cannot look at what is said outside in the public domain. We need to focus, as in any procedure of this nature, on the evidence that we are presented with. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Last, Honorable Skosan.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Yeah, I want to align myself with the proposal made by Honorable Ngola, that perhaps we must give this matter to yourself, and then perhaps you can discuss it with the speaker. Because what I see here, I think political parties are defending themselves. It's now we have turned this thing into an issue of political parties, and of which is not supposed to be like that, because we are a committee of the National Assembly. So obviously the issue that was raised by Honorable Sweller of impartiality, it's very important. And I think in my view, the concern raised by Honorable Herren, it's justifiable. We're not saying it's justifiable because he spoke about a member, a leader of a certain political party. And I can confirm that it's not only that other, that political party that he spoke about. I think we've also previously had even leaders of other political parties putting their views, of which it's wrong from both sides, whether are those who are for or against. But I think if you hear them making comments, and these leaders are also members of parliament, you must remember, as much as they may not be members of this committee, but they are members of parliament. And this is a subcommittee. I mean, it's a committee of the National Assembly, the same National Assembly which these leaders of political parties are part of. So I think them making statement, it has a potential of tainting the process and compromising the whole process. So perhaps let us not cloud it further. Let us give it to you so that you discuss it with the Honorable Speaker. Perhaps you can then find a way of moving forward in a manner that may not at the end of the day taint this particular process and compromise everything that we're doing. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Skosana, on your points there, and let me thank all members. I deliberately allowed these reflections on a matter that was not on our agenda to start with. I want all of you colleagues, I think we're building a team here that is going to be pioneering a very difficult task for the National Assembly, very historical. It's never been done this before. This is the biggest committee ever of the National Assembly of 36 members. There's none big as this. And you have us here, and as your chair, it is my commitment that this committee is going to have to be respected, managed, because it's a melting pot of what we have in the National Assembly. Firstly, the matter is going to end here. There is nothing I will take to the speaker about this issue. Here is the important issues, colleagues. This process that we're starting this process with a twin task ahead of us. And we've consistently said that we get into this process with an open mind. And when we advertise and we ask the public to comment, we said ours is to, we're looking for any issues that would assist exonerating the public protector on the issues raised in the motion, as one part, or any other role players that can assist this committee on any matters that will validate, corroborate, and help us to make findings in line with those issues in the motion, that is welcome. So from start to the end, we're going to be informed by that kind of an open-minded approach about what is it. Colleagues must remember this is an exercise of accountability to check fitness to hold office of the public protector. I will ensure that in this committee, because whatever that you are discussing now, nothing of that nature would have happened in the committee dealing with Section 94 inquiry. I want to ask colleagues that we stay and stay focused on the matters that are going to assist us in this process as members of this committee, the 36 members, which will be the evidence in front of us, the facts in front of us. I had said earlier on, we must just avoid entertaining any incidentals around these issues. I further want to say, colleagues, nobody would stop members of any party when they get to the house or wherever they are, raise whatever views that they raise. It is part of who we are in terms of that space. I will not stop a member of the UDM or of ATM and complain about, or of EFF, who would go to court, because even in court, you have got members of these parties raising their different standing points. One in support of the issue of rescission, in support of that this committee must cease its work, in support of issues of suspension. It was there in the papers. And on the other hand, you have a party that expressly indicate that it is against this and so on. I would not want to use any of those things, because it is the right of those parties to express themselves in that way. But what I will be watching for is the space of this inquiry, that we're going to be asking members of this inquiry, now that you are a member of this committee, that you watch the kind of things you post in your Facebook, in your Twitter, and so on, because we would like to travel with all of you without any challenges of recusals. None of that has happened up to so far, and I'm watching that space. I want us to avoid, because it's not going to stop. All other parties and their leaders are going to pronounce themselves this way or that way. It can't be that when they do that, colleagues, then the matters get drawn into the Section 194 committee. I want you to be very tolerant of that and disciplined. What we will not allow is as you are saying, Honorable Hendricks, that I would not be the chair of people who demonstrate impartiality, people who demonstrate biasness. I've not found any of those things in the committee. So please stay on course, colleagues, because there is nothing stopping Honorable Heron to go back to the House and respond in the name of his party on the issues that the DA is raising in the city, in the House, because that's a space that they have. This is a portfolio committee. And when we get to this space, I would like that we don't turn it into the House, because I will not chair a House sitting in a Section 194 committee. I really want to appeal to you in that regard. And it is for that reason that I am saying there is nothing that I will have to take to the Speaker. I think all of us will be equal to exercise this impartiality, this being not biased on all of these issues, and that protecting the integrity of the institution that has asked us to be in this committee. I want to appeal to you that I'd allow this item out of the agenda, but it was important that I do that so people can express themselves. But I'm hoping that as we get more hectic into the real issues of our work, we will not be sidetracked. We will not be diverted by the different standing points that we have of parties. You will help me here, trust me on that, to be watching that space, to be directing these proceedings, to be directing without stopping for you to raise your views in a manner that it should be done in a committee of this nature. I really want to make that, colleagues. I've heard all of you, but that's where I think we should agree to leave the matter on, because it's not been raised for the first time. It's been raised before about how we need to stay very much unhinged, or very much seen as we are going to follow the facts, evidence, and the truth of this entire process. There is no, I've said this before, we're not coming here with a briefcase outcome. Anybody who has got a briefcase outcome of what he or she thinks would be, you shouldn't be part of this process. You should be out there with that kind of a briefcase outcome. I want to pause there, colleagues, and then ask that we get to the next item, And I would want to call on Thembi Nkosi to take us through the minutes. Please, Thembi Nkosi.
Chair, apologies. I'm not intending to make cause a disruption. But I wanted to go on record, as you have outlined this thing, that in our notice on the public explanation of the views out there on what we are doing in this committee.
Ngola, where are you going? I've just made a ruling on this matter.
Yeah, Chair, you made a ruling. Can we move, please? I don't know why Comrade Ngola is taking us back. You made a ruling. Let's respect the chairperson of this meeting. Let's continue, Chair.
And we have got only one chairperson. Thank you, Chair. Apologies.
Thank you, Honorable Ngola. Can you also please take us through the minutes?
Chairperson, these are the draft minutes of the meeting of the 11th of May, which will then become the full committee minutes once adopted by this committee. We had three agenda items, an update by Parliament's Constitutional and Legal Services in respect of litigation and way forward, consideration and adoption of the amended draft program, and adoption of minutes of 22nd and 23rd. The first page is the agenda and the attendance of members, which extends to the second page, the second page, and then it's the opening capacity. These minutes were shared by members. Members can indicate where they would like me to make any corrections. So this is the page 3, Chair, of the minutes, the briefing that was done by the CLSO office, and then the deliberations thereof. Then the adoption of the revised committee program, which was adopted as a working document, as you earlier alluded to that. And then, traversing the last item was just the adoption of the minutes, which were two sets were adopted with no amendments. Chairperson, thank you very much. I present to you and to the committee the minutes of the 11th of May, 2022.
Thank you. Any corrections you have picked up, honorable members? Your silences, you have no corrections, you have noted. Do I have a mover for the minutes?
Chairperson, Ms. Wela, I move for the adoption of these minutes as a true reflection of what transpired on the 11th of May. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Suela moves for the adoption of the minutes. Any seconder?
Honorable Chair?
Shaky Mom seconds.
Honorable Sheikh Imam, seconds the adoption of the minutes. The minutes are duly adopted, colleagues. Thank you for that. Thank you, colleagues. I think that would have been our last item. Thank you for joining the meeting in a very hectic Friday. Your contributions are well appreciated. Thank you to Ms. Sibuwe Njikela, Fatima Ibrahim, and your teams, as well as Thembi Nkosi and the Secretary for the work you're doing. It is going to get even more challenging now and hectic. Members would know that our roadmap even takes us to the constituency period. So we'll be coming back to you to say, even before we start the hearings in July of witnesses, we're likely to have another meeting to just say to you, this is the lay of the land. So you would have to be ready for that kind of work and task. Otherwise, thank you very much for your attendance. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Long live.
Thank you, Chair.
It's long live the Chair.